Adelaide, autumn 2018. The girl in the mirror stares back at me and does not blink. It hurts to blink. Tears crest the balls of her cheeks and I clench against the desire to ache for her. She should know better. Why doesn't she know better? Although she is my exact image, she is not me. This is what I tell myself. I reach my hand towards her, rest my fingertip on the purpling stain of skin around her eye. The coolness of the glass spares me from her flesh and blood heat, and she won't flinch because of the tenderness. The black channel of the tear trough will take the longest to heal. The skin here is fragile, vascular. She's been told this many times and is familiar with this confirmation. Paper thin, near to bursting. The shadows of the bathroom blur the space between her and me. I withdraw my hand and find the switch for the bare bulb. Feared looks, let there be light. The mirror frames her face, and as I work the makeup brush around her upper and lower lids, I examine her the way I do a work of art. I shift angles, attentive, holding that invisible taut rope between the seer and what is seen, while I search for the right words to consider, to assimilate, to grasp. Art, said Leonardo, lives from constraint and dies from freedom. The girl in the mirror is a work of art. Unlike me, she will never find freedom. I close my eyes and mist the setting spray onto my face. My hand again finds a switch. Fiant tenebrae, let there be darkness. When I open my eyes, she is gone. I am here. The streetlights flicker off as I step outside. Birds bustle in the plane trees, golden leaves drifting, late this year thanks to a warmer autumn. I collect 20 leaves, bright as suns, and stash them in my satchel. Then gather twice as many smaller crimson leaves from the winged sumac crowding one of the road cottages. The same number of burnished purple leaves strewn from next door's ornamental plum. I'll use them on my walk home to create the artwork, a tree skirt, circling the base of the tree where the trunk meets the earth. Autumn leaf rings in yellow, red and purple for the towering sugar gum in North Adelaide's Wampunga Park. It calms me, anchors me, to know I have this to look forward to. I hoist my satchel onto my shoulder and remove the A4 envelope from inside it. Take a short laneway and turn right. At the end of the street there's a postbox. My hand sweats against the envelope, the fresh ink of the address reversed on my palm. I could have emailed the application, but sending it by post gives me time to come to terms with whatever might come of it. I push the thick envelope to the mailbox slit, trying to force it through. The metal clip holding the papers together catches and tears. My skin prickles, sweat beads rupturing the careful veil of makeup. I yank the envelope out and fan my face. There's a bigger postbox near the gallery. A tidal wave of shame swells as I walk away, and I can hear her, the girl in the mirror. Too fucking stupid to post a fucking letter. At the Adelaide International Gallery's staff entrance, anxiety pain shoots through my chest. Day 55 at this job, yet each one feels like the first. I touch the key pass to the pad. The gallery has a neutral odour goal. Where hotels and boutiques strive for signature scents, museums and galleries prefer that smells don't violate the art viewing experience. Sometimes it troubles me that they appear to have succeeded. I once knew little of the craving for a scent, of the brain's linking of smell, emotion and memory. Things thought lost can be found in scent, like they'll never again be found in the footy shirts and shorts, and school pants and sheets, and greasy pillowcases and towels and socks and beanies I once washed, turning up my nose at their sweat and oil and grass and earth and scraped knees smells. The first psychiatrist suggested pleasing scents. Did I have any old books from grandparents? Were there flowers from my childhood that could be planted, picked and vased? A scent from your earlier life, she'd said, breaking the very rules she'd set me to be specific, not vague, because by earlier life she'd meant before the knock on my door, the knock from the hand whose fingernails sheened with emerald green polish and caused me to fix my attention upon whether this colour was appropriate for a police officer dispatched to deliver news that no mother should hear.